coming your way next here on KASM. Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Our Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 451 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 11 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 22 degrees. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Dave Crails. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well, awesome, awesome. Dave, where do you make home these days?
Shoveling snow and high end shivering.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's down in Mankato, is it, where your home is?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Born and raised where?
You know, actually, you just played Larry Razavi soon, and I played with him for a while, too.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So where were you born and raised, Dave?
Arlington.
Arlington, Minnesota. Okay. So been down in that southern area. And so how did you get started in music? Did you take it up in school? How did it happen?
In grade school, I started playing drums in grade school.
Okay.
And then we started a rock and roll band during high school. And then when the Beatles came, that band started going into more mournful country stuff. I didn't like that. So I joined and started playing with Ivan Cale Band.
Oh, okay. Played with Ivan too,
right,
huh?
That was right after Earl and Jerry and the bass horn player and the guitar player all left Ivan and started their own band.
Yes, yes. Okay. And then they coerced you into coming over too then?
Oh, I was playing with Ivan for a while, years actually, several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ivan had his brother come and start playing drums with him, so he didn't need me anymore. And then Jefferson Schmidt came and asked me about the same time, so I went and played with them. And I was with them for 23 years.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And then you did a number of other bands, you were telling me, too, huh? On in between or after that? Or
that was most of them were after that.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably played with over 100 bands, or I got paid for playing with the bands.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Mankato has got their television station, Bandwagon.
Yeah.
It's the longest-running locally produced show in the United States. And people would call up, like, from New York and ask him, well, what kind of thing is it? And they would tell him, you know, it's a polka band playing and people dancing, and then click, they would hang up.
Yes, yeah. But still been very popular, very successful. Now, you told me you played with a band called the Jolly Lumberjacks, huh?
Oh, yeah, I played with them, too. I was living in Arlington at the time, and one of the Brow Boys... Harold Brow lived in Arlington, so he'd just pick me up at the house, take me.
Yep.
Their drummer had a heart attack, and he couldn't play more than three jobs in a row. So if they had four or five jobs, then I would play the one. So that was usually Sioux Falls, South Dakota I'd play.
Oh, a road trip there for sure. And what was your take on playing with the Lumberjacks? Boy, that was a snappy, peppy band, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was. And there was a lot of tunes I'd never heard of before, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did you also play with Clem with his swing band or just the Lumberjacks?
Well, it was back then they didn't have any jobs anymore for just Clem Brow. It was Clem Brow and the Jolly Lumberjacks.
Okay, okay.
And you played some modern, but mostly old-time music.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it was fun.
Yeah, I can believe that. That was one of my favorite bands back when I was in my going out years, high school years. They'd come up into the area, and oh, I just loved to dance to their music. And I kind of knew the guys. Harold was a tuba player and trombone, and Clem, yeah, of course, in the front row there. And I think his brother, was it Norm? Norb was on the accordion?
What was it?
Was it?
Accordion was Harlan Belfany.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, but, I mean, they just were so, just a very good band in our area here, so.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun when Harold would play the bass horn, but sometimes he would put his trombone mouthpiece in the bass horn mouthpiece, so he'd get a real, real high notes out of the thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. And then you said you also played with Ernie Koopman and the Jolly Brewers?
Yeah, I played with him for 9 months, just one little pregnancy.
Okay, okay. My goodness, you must darn near be 100 years old. They'll be playing with all those bands all the way back to, I mean, they've been gone for a while, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming up to 80.
Coming up to 80. Well, okay, so.
I still go to the office and work, too, designing heating and air conditioning systems.
You do yet? Well, good for you. retirement doesn't fit in your vocabulary, huh?
Well, that's semi-retired.
Semi-retired, okay. Family man? Are you
family? Oh, yeah.
You are, okay.
We got 5 kids, 14 grandkids, and 10 great-grandkids.
Oh, my goodness. You're in the business big time then. And your wife?
Yeah.
Your wife, is she with you?
Yeah, she's sitting here. She's prompting me.
Ah, okay. And give credit to her. Her name is?
Joyce.
And
hi, Joyce. Hi.
There you go. And I've said this many times on the air, usually behind a successful man, there's a very good wife. And so it sounds like that would be the situation. Yeah. Keeps the home fires burning while you're out and about.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say she's a perfect wife, actually.
Yeah, there you go. But so at any rate, well, you got tangled up with that Earl Schmidt band then first, and then Earl sold it to Jerry. But that's where I seen you, playing a dance job down at Lake Marion one night. And I seen this drummer playing for Jerry Schuft, and he'd hit the snare drum. That stick would fly up in the air, and he'd catch it without missing a beat. And that was you. How do you do that?
Well, it's just like baton twirling, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, just spin the stick around.
Okay.
I know some guys just wiggle them back and forth. It looks like they're spinning them, but they're really not.
Okay.
You know, I just did that. It was part of it.
Okay.
Kind of like with what we played Gibbon one night. Shook gave me a microphone for some reason, and I had too darn many smart-ass remarks. We took it away and only had for one night.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's neat. Well, you know, us people up here in central Minnesota, We have a warm spot for Earl Schmidt and Jerry Schiff music. They used to come up into the area a lot. Richmond Coliseum, Lakeview Ballroom in Avon, Pelican Lake Ballroom out in St. Anna, Granite City Coliseum, and boy, we really liked their music. They were such a great band, and you must have been proud to be part of that.
Well, we had fun playing, basically, and we'd be driving around up in that area, and I would tell Joyce, well, I played at this place, I played at that place, and she gets kind of tired of hearing that. And then if we haven't played there, I probably worked on the building, with the architectural work being done.
Sure,
almost every time, I did this or did that.
Yep. And it's sad to say that a lot of those ballrooms that you did play in are not standing anymore. They've gone by the wayside. And those that are still standing probably aren't being used. There's only one or two in the area that I see any activity. But where were your favorite places to play, Dave? Is there particular ballrooms that you really enjoyed to get into?
Oh, you know, the Gibbon Polka Festival is on my bass drum case. I've got all the stickers from the every year of the Gibbon Polka Festival.
Okay.
We were playing there one time, and I said to the owner of the ballroom, I said, you should have something else because you got all these people coming now and, you know, in the fall. You should have something earlier. And then the next year he came out with the spring fling.
Oh, he did. Okay. That was Cliff?
Cliff Hermel, yeah.
Yeah, Cliff Hermel. Very good. Yeah.
So. His wife was running the show, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And some of the members of the Earl Schmidt band back in those days, who was it, Hillary on the tuba?
Hillary on the tuba, Hillard Grock on the guitar and banjo.
Okay.
Jerome Cadillac on the saxophone.
Yeah.
And then Francis Mazza was on sax some of the time, too.
Okay.
And Ronnie Hahn on trumpet.
Yeah. Did you play with Skinny Thomas at all?
Yeah.
Skinny was on there for a while, too. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He was having a good time at the end when we were playing.
Yeah, and sadly, some of those guys are no longer with us, huh? Which ones are all gone?
Most of them, I think, are gone. Hillary was gone, and that was kind of a bad funeral to go to.
Yeah,
because his bass horn was sitting there to the left of the stage, or stage left.
Yeah,
and they had a great big flower bouquet coming out of the bell of the bass horn. It still makes me tear up.
Oh, I can believe that. You bet.
Yeah.
And probably the most recent one was Jerry Cadillac. I had him on the radio show, and then sometime later, he just kind of went downhill, and it was all over for him too, huh?
Yeah. He was getting his body was getting bad. He was a little overweight, but it was okay. You know.
Yep. And of course, they were such a show band back in those years. I mean, like you said, you had fun, and you had Earl on the end over there, and I just can still see him swinging that trombone around. Well, you know, we did a recording here recently. I'm going to send you a copy of that, unless you have it already. Dr. Lester Schuft and the Country Dutchman with that classic Polkas and Waltzes, and he's got that car, the Stingray on the front cover. You have that one already?
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, but at any rate, no, I forget where I was going with this here. Let's see what we were talking about again.
Old cars.
Yeah, no, there was something else. I'll come back to it in just a moment here. But at any rate, well, if you can hold that thought, Dave, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, and I need to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then I'll come back to you, and we'll continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Fine.
Alrighty. So, greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market, and it is the week before the big game. Yes, Sunday, February 12th is Super Bowl Sunday, in a time when folks like to get together and enjoy some fun and fellowship with food and beverages, even if some aren't particularly interested in the game. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market for great meal planning ideas. The St. Joe Meat Market always has a nice counter of beef, pork, and chicken for the full meal menus. For those that simply like to nibble and graze, the St. Joe Meat Market has homemade Swedish meatballs, the little cocktail wieners, and sausages for serving in barbecue sauce, and the ever-popular meat and cheese trays. And don't forget corn dogs, assorted varieties of burgers, patties, brats, and hot dogs from the St. Joe Meat Market are always easy to prepare and serve for the big game or any occasion. Your party or get-together is sure to be a success when you start with award-winning sausages and meats from the St. Joe Meat Market. For great in-store specials, like all of the fresh frozen steaks that are on hand right now while supplies last, call 320-363-4913, like us on Facebook, or look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. Thank you, and may your team be the big winner. Dave, for being our guest on the show, and this is how it works. We put up a meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market. Along with KASM, we send it out to you, priority mail. Hope that you and your wife and everybody around you enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
That'll be wonderful. Thank you.
You bet. You betcha. I remembered where I was going with that comment there. So we recorded this last recording, and we used several libraries. And one of the libraries Jerry Menar had available for us was the Jerry Schuft Library. And I never knew the difference before we recorded, but we also had Elmer Scheid's library there. We had the Babe Wagner Library to choose from. And those, they told me, were four-horn books. And now Jerry's book, that was a three-horn book. So meaning they had a trumpet, a reed, and a trombone, huh?
Correct.
That's the way the music was written. Being a drummer, did you pay any attention to that at all much, or didn't faze you at all?
No, I didn't read music. I didn't have any music to read.
Right, right.
And when I played with the Shells Hobo Band, they had music to read, and I told them, I don't read music. He said, well, you can just see where we're going.
Oh.
And they played like a bat out of hell, and I couldn't read where we were going.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is that band still going, the Shells Hobo Band?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they are.
They are. Okay. Do you still play with them yet then?
No, I only played that one time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very good. Okay.
That was about enough, too, actually. We played two different parades.
Uh-huh.
In the one parade, there was a bunch of people standing at the intersection, and then nothing for the rest of the block. It was a very small town with a very small parade.
Okay.
So we didn't have to keep playing 100% of the time when we did that one.
Okay. Dave, did you ever get down to the polka days in New Ulm back before they moved it to the park?
Oh, yeah. I was playing in the street out there at Brown Music when they had all the concertina players coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was waiting for my son to be born.
Okay.
And I was there playing, and then I had to leave. I said I had to leave quick, so I got home. Joyce was in labor. I dragged her quick and ran her over to the hospital. Double parked the car to get in the elevator and take her up, and came back down, parked the car, going back up in the elevator. And when the elevator came down, the doctor that delivered the son was in the elevator.
Oh my goodness!
And he said, "Well, you're a proud father of a son." I said, okay, I miss everything.
Oh, having those kids, that was a tough job, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We say that, then we usually get slugged by the wives if they're close by. So, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, well, our daughter was being born.
The last one.
The last one was, I just about made it, but not quite, because there was a guy at the office talking to me, and I couldn't get rid of it.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah.
How old are the kids these days, then, your children? Are they 40s, 50s?
I got to turn that over to my wife.
Okay.
Let's see, 62, 58, 56, 54, 51.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, so it's been a few years.
You better write that stuff down if you really want to know.
Yeah. no, that's okay. But so pretty much out of the business for a few years now, so you could turn your attention to playing and not have to worry about leaving home like you did back in those years.
Yeah, well, it's not quite so bad. I play with it's called the Vine Garage Band. We play at nursing homes and assisted living.
Okay.
And, you know, it's usually about 2:30, and it's one of those places. And we used to be playing 60 a year. Now we're down to probably about 20 or 30 after COVID broke.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah,
stopped it for a while.
Yeah, that's such a bad thing, that COVID. That just didn't do any of us any good, especially the entertainment field and the restaurant field and So yeah, that was those tough years there. But seems like things are doing okay again. Are you playing quite a lot then, Dave? You have a lot on your calendar?
No, not too many. You know, couple of months maybe is what we're doing, two or three or four.
Okay, all right.
Last year I had a whole paying job.
Really? Wow.
One, yes. I was a valley huntsman at the time at a Oktoberfest at a brewery, and that was a heck of a lot of fun playing with them.
Yeah, I've heard of those guys.
I had a borrowed lederhosen so I could join in the band.
Oh, there you go. There you go. What do you play for drums, Dave? What have you got?
It's a Slingerland set I bought probably in 1956.
Oh my gosh, that's lasted you all these years, huh?
Yeah, the finish was it was called Capri Pearl.
Uh huh.
It was black and it had little flecks of gold and pink and blue seashells in it in the surface. But that in Minnesota it didn't last very long. With the cold weather, it started cracking.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah.
So I recovered it myself at one length time. And
you bet.
That's handled it for a long time. Then all the cymbals are Zildjian.
Okay.
From Cliff Hermel when he still had a music store in St. Peter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which would be years and years and years ago. He brought a pair of sticks that are graphite.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I've been playing them for like, you know, 40 years.
Almost. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because a lot of drummers go through a lot of sticks. I've broke a few in my days, and it just happens. They have flaws in them or whatever, and it'll happen. Or too many rim shots, and it'll crack them or whatever. So, yeah.
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 What you have to do is really look at the grain of the wood.
Yep.
You know, if the grain of the wood gets cut off too much, you don't want to buy them. You want to buy the ones where the grain goes straight on through from end to end.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it won't break.
You bet, you bet. I'll bet you've done a few dance jobs in cold weather, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
with the James game, we played at a roller coaster park in Kansas City.
Okay.
And it was spring, and it was so cold, I pulled my hands all the way inside of my coat I was wearing, so only the sticks were sticking out. I was so cold.
You bet, yeah.
And then with the Wendinger band in Hamburg, it was an Oktoberfest dance outside in Lederhosen, and the snare drum was so cold on your bare legs, it was terrible.
Oh, my. Yeah, for sure. Well, Dave, we're getting down towards the end of the time. I want to save some time to play some music by Earl and Jerry and you guys. But I like usually ask the guest about this time of the program if they've got a special memory, something that stands out in your mind. You look back over your years, and you've got tons of them, I'm sure. We could be here for a couple of days telling stories, but pick one out. Pick one out and share it with the listeners.
My favorite one I can't tell on the radio.
Oh, okay.
But we played down in Omaha, and we were staying in Iowa at the time, you know, across the river from Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a couple jobs in a row. The wives were along, too.
Uh-huh.
And it was very early Sunday morning. Jerry Shupp comes out on the upper patio of his part of the hotel. And he had a Bible in his hand. He started reading scriptures to us down below.
Oh, my
God. That was all okay, but then at the end he said, I think I'd like to take a collection out, and we all went back in our room.
Oh, that sounds like Jerry. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
As you look back, do it all over again, Dave, or is there parts that you'd take out and not do again, or how does it look as you look back over your past?
Well, I had a good time playing with the rock and roll band, too, and all the polka bands and all the people.
Yep.
So I just like playing drums.
Okay.
There are probably a couple of them you would take back and wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, yep.
With Chuck Thiel, that was driving into Wisconsin, he had a message thing giving him the map directions, and we got almost into Michigan. And it said, you know, the town we're in said, take a left here, look for the park, and your outside dance job. And it was snowing at the time, like, we're going to play outside. Like,
oh, my gosh. And my favorite memory of you, and I didn't know you personally at the time, but I think I shared this with you off the air on the phone. So I would have been in my teens back in the early 70s there, probably just turned 20 or something like that. I had started with a band called the Ray Drontal Band. It used to be the Gil Stiles Band.
And, yeah, right.
back in those days, they used to do a lot of what they called Battle of the Bands. Down at Medina or Schlieff's Little City or some of those Twin Cities ballrooms would hire two bands, and they'd probably start at 8 o'clock or maybe even 7 o'clock, and then you'd play for an hour or two, and then you'd alternate, then the other band would take the stage. And then the last hour, and of course it went till 1 o'clock back in those years, then you'd play till 1, you'd play the last hour together, both bands. And so it's likely that I drummed along with you drumming because we were both playing. I remember the drummer for the Earl Schmidt band playing at that time, but I didn't take a good look at him, so I wouldn't know if it was you or not that particular night. But always enjoyed that. We played battles of the bands with Six Fat Dutchmen, with Elmer Scheid. But the one that stands out in my mind was the night we played with Earl and Jerry and all of you guys. Boy... And Ray really idolized Jerry. I mean, they were good friends, and Jerry was just such a heck of a good concertina player, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that's all because of a gunshot.
Yeah, we heard that story that he did it for therapy. And
yeah. The doctor said something about moving your arms a certain way, and he looked around and he thought about that. He said, "Well, I could learn concertina," so that's why he took concertina.
Oh, and man, so many guys just look up to Jerry as one of the leaders. And, I mean, you talk to Carl Hartwig, you talk to Brian Brigham, Gary Brigham, all of those guys, they credit Jerry with them being here today playing the concertina like they do.
Yeah, and you know, every name you mentioned, I have played with them, too.
You probably have.
I have.
I know you had mentioned you played and recorded with Cletus Goblish, huh?
Oh, yeah, Cleet, too.
Yep. There's so many. And sadly, we had talked off the air. You had played with Dale Damon. Of course, that's a sad story that's starting to unfold.
Yeah.
They died in that murder-suicide situation, and don't have any details yet now. But I played a couple of Dale's songs this morning, and there, I suppose you were just filling in with Dale the times you played with him?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, because
when we played on Bandwagon.
Okay.
You know, last fall it was an all pickup band.
Okay.
It was Gary Bagginsaw on bass horn.
Yep.
Jerry Cale on sax.
Yep.
Clarinet, and then me on the drums and Dale on the concertina.
Oh yeah.
We're only a four piece.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Dale has those two talented sons. Of course, Dominic died in the shooting there. But was a very good drummer, I understand. And then also his son, Samuel. And I guess he's a fantastic keyboard player and must play almost every instrument. So, it's going to be hard for those, the rest of his wife and son, Samuel, to go on. I mean, boy, it's going to take some time to heal on that one. So,
I think it's going to take a lot of time on that one. When you first heard it was a murder-suicide, you kind of wonder if it was the two people in the murder-suicide, but it turned out to be,
one.
Two murders in a single suicide.
Yeah, I think so. That's the way it seems to be sounding. So,
Yeah,
we'll just offer prayers for the family, and they can get on through it. So I know it's not the first time something like that has happened, but, it hits home now. Everybody around here in central Minnesota knew Dale Damon and the Polka Beats. They played up in this area a lot over the years, so very, very sad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't been to a musician's funeral since yesterday.
Oh, really? Yesterday you were at one?
Yeah, the bass guitar player with the Vine Band had passed away.
Oh.
So all of a sudden, somebody drove by and he was dead in the front yard, shoveling and chopping out snow.
Yeah.
I don't think the wife even knew he was down. Oh. But, I mean, he must have just died and fell over with a heart attack, so gone.
Yeah. Well, we didn't mean to end the program on a somber note, but it's great to hear that you're still playing, Dave. And, God, I hope you keep on doing it. There's not as much opportunities anymore, like we both said. Isn't it just amazing? There was a ballroom in almost every town, especially up here in central Minnesota. And back in the days, and like you said, you played at all of them. And now, boy, if there's an event happening, you better go to it because there's nothing within 50 to 100 miles of it, it seems like.
Yeah, I remember about 20 years ago, we were talking to the people of Wisconsin. And they said, you know, you guys got all the ballrooms and we got all the dancers. It's kind of like that, too.
Yep.
Everything was kind of starting to fade away. Well, just like Branson, you know.
Sure.
The crowd's getting almost too old for that thing.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. Well, Dave, we're going to let you run. Want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us. And I tell every musician, good Lord willing, if you and I are still here down the road, we'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
Sure. You can pick any one of the other bands I could talk about.
There you go. We'll certainly do that. Right now, we're going to feature some music by Jerry Schuft and Earl Schmidt. So have a great day, and I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. And there he goes, Dave Krilz, our 451st guest here on Musicians Come and Play. Don't go away. We've got music coming up in just a couple of moments by Earl Schmidt. Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Wraps up our 451st edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Dave Krilz, again, the drummer for Earl Schmidt and Jerry Schuft through the years, and was our guest. And boy, a lot of stories to tell. Great, great time there with Dave. Right now, we're going to start out with music by Earl Schmidt and the orchestra. It's a nice old-time polka, one called the Jet Polka. Number there by the Earl Schmidt Orchestra, one called the Jet Polka. Right now it's old time waltz time with the Earl Schmidt Orchestra. It's one called the Playmore Waltz. Schmidt Orchestra, nice waltz tune there, the Playmore Waltz. Here's one of their old standards, a nice polka tune, one called the Schmaltz Polka. Thank you. The Earl Schmidt Orchestra with the Schmaltz Polka. 29 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 23 degrees here in central Minnesota. And we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And, of course, that is always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours. Jeannie Bonfig and the gang over at Jeannie B's Tours. And, yeah, Jeannie has sent me information. And let's see if I can read it from the phone. I have to enlarge it so I can read it. And she says, good morning from Florida. Yes. So here is some information for tomorrow's show. So if you are experiencing cabin fever, spring fever, halitosis, or looking for just the right spring outing, then Jeannie B's Tours invites you to join them on the incredible Spring Ark Encounter Creation Museum experience. This six-day tour departs May 15th, travels through the beautiful countryside of Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, and Kentucky. Now, you'll spend a day touring and learning at the Fair Oaks Dairy in Indiana, lodging at the beautiful new Marriott Barn Hotel on the farm. It's a very unique experience. There's guided tours of the robotic milking, breeding of both dairy and pork operations are included. There's also a winery tour and tasting that happens before dinner on the farm. Day three, the deluxe, and I'm going to make the next one bigger so I can continue reading. The countryside of Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. Then you'll spend a day of touring and learning at the fair. We did that at the Fair Oaks Dairy. Day three, the deluxe motor coach heads to Petersburg, Kentucky, to the 65,000 square foot Creation Museum. Here, the pages of the Bible are brought to life. Visit Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You enjoy viewing the many books of the Bible through many informative videos and displays. On day four, you are to be amazed as you ride over the hill and see the life-size Noah's Ark. You'll spend the day touring all three levels of the largest timbered frame structure in the world, built by Amish craftsmen. And let's get more of this. And so, yeah, I can just tell you that we were on this trip last year, my wife and I, and totally enjoyed it. Day five of this trip, the coach heads to the Wisconsin Dells for the last night of lodging at the Ho-Chunk Casino in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Five nights lodging, experience guide, Trobix Deluxe Motor Coach, nine meals, all admissions on the itinerary, prizes and treats on the bus, cheese house, all are included in this spring adventure. So to make your reservation and you don't want to wait, give Jeannie B's Tours a call today to reserve your seats. And let me find her phone number for you. We'll find that in just a moment. So Jeannie B's Tours, her number to call is 320-249-8149. And I've got Jeannie's itinerary out of one of the newspapers in front of me. And they've got a whole bunch of travel shows coming up now, starting here in February. So February 17th is going to be at the Melrose American Legion from 9:30 till 11. On Tuesday, February 21st, they're going to be at Kay's Kitchen in St. Joe from 1:30 until 3. On Monday, February 20th, they're at the Tutti Frutti Kitchen in Sauk Center, Minnesota from 9:30 until 11. Also on the 20th, they're going to be at the Perkins in Alexandria from 1:30 until 3. On Thursday, February 23rd, Jill's Cafe in Richmond, 8:30 to 10:30. And then later that day, 11 till 12:30 at the River Inn in Cold Spring. And also coming up Friday, February 24th at Delish in Freeport, 9 until 10:30. Wednesday, March 8th, they'll be at the Clearwater Estates Clubhouse from 9:30 until 11. And then from 12 until 3, they'll be doing Falls in New England Landscapes and Lighthouses of Coastal Maine. So that's kind of a split day there in at the Clearwater Estates Clubhouse. So, yeah, fun times there with Jeannie Bunfeg and the gang. And we are going with them April 19th through the 24th to Branson, and looking very much forward to that trip. So fun times ahead with Jeannie B's Tours, Jeannie Bunfeg and the gang. Looking forward to it. Hope to see you on the bus. Jeannie Bunfeg, Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 26 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock as we're running out of time. Time for just a couple more selections. Right now it's Earl Schmidt and the orchestra, one called the Bertha Polka. Schmidt and the orchestra with the Bertha Polka. And we are now at 23 minutes before the hour of 1, and our temperature reading is at 23 degrees here in central Minnesota. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that. Feature Jerry on the concertina, a nice concertina solo. And boy, there's so many good ones, but he really did a nice job on this one. It's one called The Slow and Easy Landler. Thank you. Jerry Schuft on the concertina solo there, Slow and Easy Landler, wrapping up our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.